Yeah, good evening, everyone. My name's Grant. I'm an addict. Thank you so much for asking me to be a service. Sorry, something's flashed up on my screen. Thank you so much for asking me to be a service. Thank you, everyone who does service at this meeting. And thank you, everyone else, for making tonight's meeting possible. And thank you, Ray, as well, for taking us through the first six. And it's hard to not echo so much what Ray has already said about the effect that the principles of recovery have had on me as an individual and those around me in all areas of my life. And I tried hard not to think about what I was going to say prior to this evening, because I'm not one of those that's actually sought out to understand each and every principle. I'm aware of them, and like Ray, my book, the principles are in a slightly different order attached to each step. But although I didn't seek out to understand exactly what principles, where they were, what they meant, and why they came in, there was a natural awakening of my conduct, my behavior, as a direct result of me going through this process and going through the steps. And I heard for a long time, you know, the 12th step when it was read out in meetings, you know, and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And Kevin was telling me why they started this meeting up when we spoke a few weeks ago. And, you know, I wish someone had done something like this back when I was first in, because although I heard that in the 12th step, practice these principles in all our affairs, I had no idea what they were talking about and never even thought to ask. Just never thought to ask. But what's happened is, as a direct result of me going through this wonderful program, is each step has had a profound effect on me in one way or another. And underneath that step lies the principle. And unbeknown to me, it was quite a unique revolutionary change that took place without me even knowing. And I was thinking before a little bit about, you know, what was I like before? What principles did I live by before when I was in active addiction? And you know, I've been around, you know, for a long time. So it's not always easy for me to remember, you know, it talks about, you know, can't bring into the forefront of our consciousness the suffering or pain of a week or a month before. When you're talking about years, it's sometimes hard to, you know, try and remember how bad it was, because I've got a mind that lies to me and says everything was cool and it was fun. But I can't remember living by any principles. And I certainly did not come to Cocaine Anonymous to have a load of principles thrust upon me and be told this is how you've got to live. But like Ray's already said, I had to change. And the first one that's on my list is humility, which is attached to the step seven. And I don't think I was ever, ever truly humble prior to. I remember the moment where humility took on a massive part of my character, my thinking, my conduct, and my behavior. I remember. And for me, it happened on my step five. It happened at step five because Ray's already talked about it, about the fear that we attach to a lot of the stuff that we do. And step five, and you know, was the most fearful part of this process for me. And the fear that I felt prior to doing my step five forced me to do what all good addicts do. And when I was asked about that step, I lied. But I had to quickly get over that fear and go and humble myself. And I remember leaving my sponsor's house after doing that. Oh, babe. Sorry, Alexa's just turned the lights out. Alexa, turn the living room lights on. I remember having to go and bottle my pride with courage, like Ray's already talked about, face my fear. And I left my sponsor's house that night with a humility that I've never, ever known. And thankfully has never truly left me. Now, there are times when I'm the opposite to humble, and that's probably egotistical, yeah? Very, you know, thinking way too much of myself, very little of others. And it talks to, it says here, we learn that we are not special or unique. And I remember when one of my first sponsors said, Grant, I've got a new job and I can't sponsor you anymore. I've done what all good addicts do. I made it about me. And I said, what have I done? And he said to me, you're not that special. You know, and I remember that kick, like the absolute kick in my stomach that felt verbally, that I'm not that special. And it was like, at the time, I didn't get what he meant. But after sticking around and growing in these steps and these principles, I now totally get what he meant. You know, I'm not special and I'm not unique. I meet very special people and very unique people along the way. But humility for me was about, in layman's terms, I was brought back down to earth with a bang. And I no longer see myself as being above anyone, and I certainly didn't see myself as being beneath anyone. There is just a general level of pride in what I do and who I am today, and I try to conduct myself as best as I can without thinking too much of myself or too little of others. And, you know, sometimes I get that massively wrong. I am really humble in meetings, but I can be a dick at home and forget who I am and what I'm doing. And I think it was you, Ray, once turned around and said, it's not about being clean and sober. I remember we was out for Lee's birthday, I think it was. And them kind of behaviours today are not acceptable. This isn't just about being clean and sober. You know, this is about how we do conduct ourselves in all our affairs. And that humility has managed to keep me there for as long as I've been around. And I hope it never leaves me. So, step eight goes into love, the principle of love. And I don't ever remember feeling like I warranted or deserved any praise, any feeling of genuine love from another person prior to coming into recovery. And that's quite sad. When I sit here today and I think about the kind of person that must be out there right now, as we sit here tonight, with the opportunity to be, you know, free from active addiction and happy in our lives, what it must be like for someone to be sitting out there now and feel so useless and worthless about themselves that when someone shows them genuine love, feelings or cares for them, they can't accept it. And I remember that feeling. I remember that feeling. And I remember coming to meetings and people showing me a respect, a warmness, a kindness, a genuine interest, and underneath all of that was a real strong core of love that come from around the people in the meetings, who genuinely reached out to each other, newcomers, old timers, whoever. And I learned a hell of a lot about who I am today from being around people like you in meetings. And they say, like, you know, we don't get clean and sober in meetings, you know, but I'll tell you what I did get in meetings is I got a lot of valuable life lessons from watching the people around me, how they conducted themselves, how they reached out to other people, how kind they were to themselves, I spent a lot of time during my addiction being very unloving and very unkind to myself and other people. And I whenever anyone ever said to me, Grant, you know, you're such a nice whatever, or you've done that, there was a feeling in my stomach that just kicked me and just went, if only they knew what you were really like. And today is a direct result of me going through this process. When someone says something to me, whether it's my wife, my son, or anyone that I work with, and they give me genuine praise or they tell me they love me, you know, I'm able to feel that emotion today. I'm able to accept that emotion today. I'm able to not be afraid of it today and feel that, you know, I am worth a lot more than I ever believed I was. And that's all thanks to learning from people like yourselves. And as a result of that, I just try and conduct myself in the same way as much as possible. And like I said, I haven't put too much thought into principles, but they've come naturally. When I went through the steps and stuff, they just came naturally to me. Recovery for me has been not just about going through this stuff. You know, and Ray touched on a bit of it earlier about, you know, willingness and stuff like that. Recovery for me is just all about change. I have to continuously be willing to change and grow, and that includes in with regards to how I feel about myself and others. Next one was forgiveness, and it's funny how we talk about love and then go into forgiveness. It's like, you know, in order for me to forgive myself for everything I've done, and that's the selfish side of me, you see. It's about me forgiving me. Instantly, my first thought was me. There has to be an element of love attached to that. There has to be an element of touch, a huge element of forgiveness attached to that love, because I've gone through this process. I was woken up to the way I was living and knew that it was wrong, but had no idea that the person I'd become was such a poisonous, closed-minded, unloving person. And when you're faced with that reality and you actually, you know, we go through the process and we've got a list in front of us of people that, you know, that we've harmed and stuff like that. The first thing I remember was the guilt that I tried to attach almost naturally to a lot of the people on my list. And it says in our, I'm not going to go on to it in a minute, and it says in the step 11, when we do our nightly inventory, it talks about, you know, not drifting off into morbid reflection, you know, because we don't want to, you know, diminish our usefulness to others. I had to be able to forgive what I was and the person I was in order to move forward. And today, it started with me forgiving myself and grew to me then forgiving others. Because I can't go to someone to make an amends to them in my step 9, asking for forgiveness and trying to put stuff right. And then when other people harm me in whatever way, whether it's intentionally or unintentionally, be close to the idea of forgiving them. You know, how dare I think that I can go and seek forgiveness but not be open to forgiving others? And that takes a massive amount of faith, a massive amount of courage, and a massive amount of strength and bravery to be able to do that. Because I don't know about anyone else on this meeting tonight. I am a bank of resentment at times. You know, someone says something to me, it may not register there and then, but I'll bank it without realizing it. And 6 months later, that resentment will pop in my head and go, remember when that wanker said this or said that? See, I've got a disease in my mind that tries to separate me from all of these principles and all of the good that I've learned and become in these meetings and in the program. I mean, if I want to be free from drink and drugs for the rest of my life, if I want to be clean, sober, and best of all, happy, forgiveness has to be a major part in everything that I am and everything that I do, because I am not free from making mistakes. I can be a dick at the click of a finger. But today, when I do make a mistake, I'm prepared to forgive myself first and foremost, because I know I'm not perfect today as much as I'd like to think I am sometimes. And secondly, forgive others as well, which sometimes can be harder than it sounds for me. But that forgiveness gives me the peace of mind in order to live my life free and happy today. Because I'm not walking around with 10, 15, 20 people in my head living there rent-free, because I'm unable to forgive them or myself for anything that's happened. So it's a lot of it for me is about, you know, giving me that peace of mind and keeping me unblocked from the spirit that's freed me, in all fairness, because on my own devices, I was going nowhere fast. In fact, I was in reverse at 100 miles an hour, and everything behind me and around me was just up for wrecking. Then we go into discipline. And discipline is attached to step 10. And the one thing I was before I came in here was extremely undisciplined. Ray already said, you know, when her sponsor said to her, call me at this time and not that time, trying to lay down some disciplines. And discipline, I was very undisciplined people. And because I had that willingness in the very early stages and early doors of my recovery to not go back to where I'd came from, and because I had the gift of hope that had been given to me by others, and I wanted it so much, I was prepared to do what I'd already said about change and growth, to the point where I was prepared to be re-disciplined. And I took on board suggestions and directions. I thoroughly followed the path of those before me and the people around me that told me what to do and how to do it. And slowly but surely, those disciplines, those actions that I put in, started to become second nature to me. And as a result, I kind of know when I'm becoming undisciplined again. I can feel it. I go, I've got this, and I hope so many more of you. I hope everyone's got this, right? I really do. And if you haven't got it, I hope when you work and you go through the steps, it comes to you the way it's came for me. This God consciousness, this awareness, this spirit that's been awoken in me, that, you know, I know when I'm acting in a way that I shouldn't be acting. It affects me in the pit of my stomach and in the core, and I become very wonky very quickly, like an MFI wardrobe, you know what I mean? All over the place spiritually. And then I look back at, you know, the disciplines that I was taught early doors about, you know, the very basics, you know, take inventory, prayer and meditation, service, calling my sponsor, reaching out to newcomers, all of that stuff. They're all disciplines. They're suggestions and they're directions, and, you know, but they're a discipline. And when I put them down one by one, I certainly feel it. And that's come naturally to me. It's not like I have to work very hard. I can feel it before I see it sometimes. I can just feel it. And it says here, discipline is a new concept to many of us when we first get sober. Absolutely. Absolutely. But today, thankfully, as a result of those disciplines and those actions that I've continually took, not always to the best of my ability, I'd be lying if I said I took inventory every single day. I'd be lying if I said I'd done a grat list every single day. Someone once said about, you know, it's not the elephants that get you, Grant, it's the ants. And I slowly start to put things down. And it comes back to bite me on the ass. And so today I'm a far more disciplined human being and individual than I was when I first came in. And I hope that's the case, because otherwise I've spent the last 11 odd years here learning nothing and completely blind to it. But I absolutely know that that's happened to me today, because I feel it. So step 11 is... takes us into that inventory process, and it's talking about awareness. Through regular inventory, we remain aware of our own motives, intentions, and behaviors. Through prayer and meditation, we strive to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him. And I remember when me and my wife was going to get married back in 2014, and we was at Camp Vention, and I was talking to Richard. A lot of you, if you don't know Richard, where have you been? So I was talking to Richard, and me and Richard have always been close in recoveries. You know, we've always had a chat, and he was at Camp Vention. And my missus said, Richard, have a word with him. This ain't not right with him. And, you know, I don't know if it was the build up to the wedding where I was stressed or whatever, but I spoke to him. He said, what's up? And I said, I don't know. I'm not doing anything I shouldn't be doing. I'm not acting dishonestly, like Ray was talking about. You know, I'm not doing anything I shouldn't be doing. In fact, I'm still doing everything I should, but I just weren't doing too great inside spiritually. And sometimes I've hit a brick wall in recovery. I haven't been doing anything. It just happens, you know, and I just stayed true to the program and those daily disciplines, and it shifted. And Richard's first question to me was about, when was the last time you took inventory? And I said, I don't. And this was nearly four and a half years in. And I said, I don't. I said, I've got this God consciousness. I'm aware of it. It shows itself to me. And that's true. Every day, you know, my step four, my consciousness was awoken. So I'm completely aware when I'm being selfish, or when, you know, when I'm acting in a lustful way, or I'm self-seeking, or I'm self-set. I can see it. It's still with me today. So I didn't see the point of taking inventory, because I can see it. And he just said, you need to start taking inventory. And at the time, I hadn't had a sponsor for a while, because it was really hard to find a sponsor who had something what I wanted at the time. And thankfully, Richard took me back down that path. And since then, I regularly do inventory. And some days my inventory is yes, no, 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 yes, 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 quite straightforward. But I always sit there and give it the credit it deserves, and always bring myself to that state where I have to have acknowledged what has happened that day and where I've made, maybe where I've failed or could have done better. And in order to be able to do that, there has to be an awareness of my actions and my behaviours. There has to be. I can't be blind to it. You know, talks about, you know, a better demonstration of these principled lives before I was in our homes and all our affairs and stuff like that. And like, you know, I know when I've been wrong and stuff. The other thing about the inventory and taking that and doing that on step 11 is, it's pointless me doing it if I'm not going to not only just be aware to what I've done, if I'm not willing to do what's needed with regards to the corrective measures. So I can take inventory all day long, and I can see my part all day long, and I can see where I've maybe dropped off and could have done better, and then I can see where I've done okay. But if I'm not prepared to do what's required in order to correct that. A lot of the time I can go back to, you know, the humility side of it is go and correct, go and admit my wrongs. That's something I can be very slow at doing sometimes. I always feel better as after I've done it, you know. But that's a part of me, like that humbling myself can sometimes be a little bit more difficult than I would like. Just reminds me straight back when I do get stuck with having to go and say a sincere apology and ask for forgiveness for acting like a dick or hurting someone. It always takes me straight back to that feeling when I was step five. And thankfully that's never left me. But you need to have that awareness to be able to see it, and I need to be able to have the awareness to put the corrective measures in place and try and do better the next day. And last but not least, step 12, we go into service. If service wasn't a big part of what we do, and service wasn't a big part of my recovery, I wouldn't be sat here. Because like Ray, you know, I've got an apple tart tartan sitting in the kitchen that could take a bit of an hammering. I've got a couple of things lined up on the old TV that could do with watching. I've got FIFA 21 that's looking to get smashed out. But service is a massive, massive part of my recovery. And it is the best, absolute best opportunity for me as an individual to get out of myself. And there's been many time when I may have been asked to do service and thought, you know, I've had a shit day or I've had a shit week. What message have I got? Do you know what I mean? What can I go and say to these people? And no matter how good my day is or how bad my day is, I've got a fantastic message because I've had good and bad days. And the bad days is probably the best time for me to go and do service because it gives me that opportunity to stop thinking about myself and give straight back to someone else, which always instantly lifts me out of myself to a higher plane. Whilst lifting me, also humbles me. I leave a room, I leave a meeting, I leave work, because I'm lucky to work in the mental health field. I go and do something for someone, and when I leave, if I've done something to someone with no gain, it's the point of service, I always leave feeling a better person. I always leave not only feeling a better person, but believing that what I just did has brought me closer to my higher power and not further away. And it restores my faith in myself, my higher power, and humanity as a whole. Some of the best things about lockdown, and I'm not sure if anyone else may have picked some of this stuff up, is, you know, one is the amount of people that have just thrown themselves around each other via these kind of meetings. And been of absolute service to getting these meetings out there and inviting and encouraging as many people to turn up as possible. But also outside of recovery, the stories that I would hear, especially early doors in the lockdown and stuff, of companies that were no longer making money, but changed how they delivered their services or their products in order to help people with COVID. You know, whether it was making face masks, whether it was delivering food, you name it. And that restored my faith, not only in recovery and what I'm trying to become and why I do what I do, but in human beings as a whole. And we was out going for our walks because we're very lucky to live right on the cusp of the country. So we've got big fields. And I remember we was walking back one day, me, my wife and my son, and the houses around the back of us, their whole front garden had a tent thing up, and they were making boxes up ready to be taken out and delivered to those that couldn't get out of their houses. You know, and we would love to have done something like that, but my wife was shielding because she's classed as being vulnerable. But the service that I've seen, not just from us as a fellowship, but from our communities as a whole during this lockdown, has not only inspired me, but it has definitely reinstated my faith in humanity, because I can always focus on the bad apples and not focus on the good apples. I hope through what I've said tonight, if you've got anything from it, I hope it's that you have felt the way that I have tried to describe that I feel as a direct result of going through this wonderful program with you wonderful people. And I'll tell you something for nothing. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else ever for the rest of my life, and long may that continue. I'll leave it there. Thank you very much.